So Elon, after the show, just send it to me, and then I'll post it. Thank you. Okay. Just one quick thing about the format of the midterm. So the midterm is going to have, like, you know, Shelot Ktarot, with, I guess it's about 50 points, which will be a combination of the two sugyas. I think, as far as I recall, like, 60% of the questions come from Halal, 40% of the questions come from our sugya, Bali Rav Bali Matzeh. Then there are two separate essays, one from Halal and one from Bali Rav Bali Matzeh. And that accounts for 25 points each. So again, no surprises. You know, you could make reasonable conclusions about what the essays are about. It's not meant to be a trick. So again, anybody who's obliged in the midterm, they've already been submitted to Mr. Playoff, and I think that, when is it? So it's
Wednesday.
It's Wednesday, right? It's Wednesday, right? Yeah.
Eitan is also, like, Eitan, I think, and Rami are also supposedly added, inbalas were added later in the day because of mock trial.
Yeah, I didn't get that email, so I do feel badly about it, but I...
They're saying that I still was told to put them on the list. I'm not sure, right? I could go ask him.
But yeah, I don't want to, you know, the yeshiva is pretty mock for it, so... just please let them know we're going to have a recording, and I send my apologies. But unless they actually officially tell me, they've really communicated to us on many occasions that they don't approve of these things. And I am an employee here, and mechuyav to the employers. Okay, so just a word of review of the Ramban yesterday. So the Ramban took the position that, as far as he was concerned, the Azharas HaTorah is really only on Rishos. And Batim and Gvulin are dispositive for him, albeit the Rush didn't think very much of that term Batim. And it's obviously diametrically opposite of the view of the Rambam, that Bailus of the Chametz was the dispositive issue, Kasav HaTorah, Lo Yira'eh L'cha Chametz. But the Ramban, driven largely by the Mechilta, takes the position that even your bailus is insufficient, and as Noam, you pointed out already last week, it really does end at the doorstep. If it's not under your control, it's not in your proximity, so then any Torah level obligation has been mitigated, and all that remains for the Ramban is an obligation to be mivo'er mi divrei sofrim. Now, the Ramban says, you know, in the opposite scenario, which is our Gemara and Vav and Aleph, even a Chi of the Rabbanan would not exist because it's Cham Social Nachri, Bevei Social Nachri. With respect to that, he's fully prepared to endorse the view of Rabbeinu Tam, and maybe somebody can remind me of just that one case where the Ramban says that there's Bailos Yisrael, but nobody's going to have any obligation, even on a rabbinic level, to be Mevayer Sed Chametz. The last case that we saw, Shemi?
The Chametz,
beautiful. Exactly right. So there, the Ramban says, the complete inaccessibility of the Chametz not only undermines your access to it, but Lo Karinan Bei?
Shacha.
Shemi? It's really outstanding. And it's a delight, you know, in terms of the retention. So the Ramban felt that Rishus was such a dominant factor with respect to making a determination as far as liability for Bali Rav Bali Matzeh, that he felt, and he states explicitly, that absence of access, such as total absence of access, is enough to be mafkia bailus, lo karinan bei shalcha. Now, I'm being very careful in my word choice over here, because when the Ramban speaks about total absence of access, Ilan, what am I referring to? Which line in the Ramban? The Ramban seems to draw a distinction between Nafal of Mapolas and all other cases of absence of Rishos. What was the diok that I'm...
Another one's a Mi'a Divrei Sofrim.
Right. The halakha conclusion we agree about. But what line in the Ramban establishes that what he's really dealing with is a kind of a spectrum? There are things that are not in your Rishos, and then there are things that are even further outside of your Rishos. Levi, you remember? You have this line in the Ramban? Ilan? This is the single case of Bailos Yisrael, right, outside of Rishus Yisrael, where the Ramban doesn't think that there's even a Chiyuv Derabanan. No?
Not sure, but maybe like when it's collateral for the non-Jew.
Well, that's a different story altogether. That even the Rush might agree to. Remember, that's the Rush's attribution in terms of the Chilta. But what line in the Ramban? Yehuda? Just staying with our case, Chamish and Mapolas. I'm just, what's the language in the Ramban that adds a very, very nuanced idea that something could be out of your rishus, yeah, and something could be really out of your rishus? No? Well, right. I mean, Chamish and Nafal Mapolas or Eikum Mevuar, right? That's Talmudic in origin. Leva? There you have it. Why would we care about Kol Adam, right? Who cares? But the Ramban is using that to explain that in his judgment, even though, of course, your formal title to this Chametz remains intact, he doesn't think there's any Chiyuv Derabanan whatsoever. Levi, what do you make of this Svara? He's using this Shiur called Avud Mikol Adam as a referendum of something being completely outside of your rishos.
Right. Well, I mean, it seems to be, he ties it clearly to the word shalfa, lecha. So, if something is extended to other mikolagam, then it couldn't possibly be. I mean, we said that it's not, that total lack of rishos is not the abilus. We said that.
But then that's on a doraisa level, no matter what. Now he's saying even on a derabanan level.
Right, well, if it's not lecha, then it's nothing to do with your abanan.
Right, I'm just saying, how do you get from Avud Mikol Adam to Eino Shelcha? I'm just asking for a more mechanistic explanation. Is real?
Well, I think in that case, you cannot retrieve it, so it is Yish, so it's no, it can't be considered yours.
Well, let's say the guy, so that's an interesting approach. Let's say the guy is banging on the Mapolis. I could have been someone. I could have been someone, right? And see, what do you think?
I think we're saying shalchot yakara shalchim shalgavah, but if it's still if any Yisrael, a Yisrael doesn't fall into either of those categories. So if the achirim have it, or, so therefore, since it's not considered shalchot, because the shalchot would still call it fall, would still fall into shalchot for that term.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So I think that the Ramban is subject to interpretation. I can't say this as positively. I just want to suggest one of two ideas. One of them is a little bit more ambitious than the others. So let me start with Akal Ve'al Akavet. Could be that the Ramban felt that the Chi of the Rabbanan related to the idea that in the final analysis, even if the Torah gave you a ptur on something, if this is under your bailus, so really the rabbis think that it's not healthy for a person to have chametz, which is under his violence that exists in the world. But the rabbis, Hey Mamru, they weren't going to apply that in the most extreme of scenarios where, you know, the chametz isn't circulating in any sense. It's Avud Mikol Adam. We can almost relate to the chametz as Keman Delei Seidamya. Okay, so that I think is a relatively prosaic kind of an approach to this Ramban. And say, Hey Mamru, the chametz is basically Keman Delei Seidamya because it's not accessible to you nor to anybody else. And so that's what he means by lo karinan bei shalcha. It's not really so much a hafka sabailus, so much as a din and the chafza. The more ambitious approach is to say, no, the Ramban means exactly what he says. It's still command di isay, the chametz exists, but your bailus of the chametz, even on a rabbinic level, has been utterly and completely undermined. Bailus, at some level, has to be defined by the idea of access to an object. If you are the owner of an object in title only, but you have no hope whatsoever of accessing this object, not only because it's outside of your immediate jurisdiction, but because it's not available to anyone in the world, at some point we may cease to relate to it as under your ownership entirely, not just under your rishus. Okay, and that I think is a conceptual explanation that requires much further elaboration and exploration. Indeed, the most important Rubicon that we would need to cross is whether that's merely a din prati in Bali Rabbi Yermatze. After all, your formal bailus has been severely attenuated to begin with, this is only quasi-biolist that we're talking about. So tzarech ion, and we'll leave it there, in terms of whether we could apply this logic, avod mimenu mikol adam, to other areas in halacha, hafkas bailus lo karinan be shulcha. There's always more to explore. In any event, we're ready to go on in terms of bringing this now forward, halacha lemaisa, through the Torah and the Shulchan Aruch. So let's take a look. Shimi, by the way, once again, it was really very well done and very pleasing. Okay, Yaakov, go ahead. Adoni Avi, so he always likes to refer to his father, the Rosh. Okay, there you go. So as expected, as we saw in the Rosh itself, so the Torah is, you know, Holech Bekvos Aviv. Right, what's fascinating here is that he quotes, right, a shita that we could readily identify, Yesh min hagonim shekasvu, that the responsibility is going to fall at the Doraisa level, let's say, onto the Nifka, who's obviously going to subscribe to that idea on the Doraisa level. What's that?
I was thinking the Ron. Ramban.
Right, definitely. Anybody in the school of the Ramban is going to say your bailus ends at your doorstep, and once it's in somebody else's domain, so the responsibility is going to be theirs. Yeah, there's a derabanan aspect for the Ramban in terms of chemtzer shel Yisrael, chutz v'digvulo, chutz l'beso, but on the doraisa level, the nifkat is the one with the problem. Right, that's what the Ramban said multiple times. The kabbalah sachrayas, the beso, that's going to cross that threshold. Okay, so no great surprises there in terms of the Torah. Now let's take a look at the machlokes that the Beis Yosef presents between the Archos Chaim and the Rashba. I think this Rashba is talking about a very practical case, but I hope that you heard echoes of something that I've been raising at least as a conceptual possibility for some time now. Yaakov, do you mind carrying it forward a little bit? Okay, so let's just hit the period there. So the Rashba is dealing with a very important question. He says, you know, generally speaking, halacha l'maisa, on a derabanan level, the chemtzo shel nachri, we're going to have a mechitza asara tvachim, as discussed. Because when it comes to chametz shel hekdesh, mivdol b'dili minei, but regular chametz, lo mivdol b'dili minei, people are used to eating that. So we raised the question many times in the sugya that I think we might want to use Chubas HaRashba as a way of getting at the answer. We were asking the question on the Raisa level. The Rashba is dealing with it at a much lower level, at a purely rabbinic level. But what chiluk does the Rashba say that he instinctively agrees to? Ilan? Excellent. So remember, we kept on talking about that, right? Right? So in that case, there's no issue of bailus and there's no issue of rishus because it's betzeko biyado. Hifkido etzlo, we said, zakut levar, chay levar, shenamar lo yimotze, yichay lo bayis, you're okay. So I kept on asking the question, well, let's say the guy stays there. Does that make a difference? And the svara and the rashba is to say, absolutely makes a difference. That the full weight of Hifkido Etzlo is only in a situation where he leaves the Chametz and then absents himself. So when you see a tshuva like this, even though the Rashba again is dealing with a much lower level question, do we require Mechitzas Asarat Tfachem? Do we not require Mechitzas Asarat Tfachem? Right, the question should resonate on the Doraisa level as well. Once the Nachri puts it down, but he doesn't leave, what's the implication for Lo Yimatze? So the Svaras HaRashba, it's interesting. The Rashba's language is very strong. He's very convinced of the point. He says, well, what am I talking about? Where does he say? I think it's not just the equivalent, but there's a line that jumps out at me. If I pick a line from this Rashba, I think it's very fascinating. He says, it's not just like Petzion. Yeah, it's not just like Hekdesh, you don't have to have a mechitza, but it's a kol shekein. It's so obvious that if the owner is there, right, that there's nothing to talk about. Okay, now, in principle, I'm certainly open to objections, and people saying, oh, well, since here really it's a question at a very pragmatic level of a chashash achila, so maybe the Tshuva HaRashba is only talking about that case. If I'm interested, and me personally, in the Daraisa question, is it trigger lo yimatze? Maybe I can't bring a raya from the Tshuva HaRashba. So I'm definitely open to that critique. On the other hand, I think the Rashba is definitely relevant to the discussion, and the clarity that he thinks the matter has, it's just like so obvious that the presence of the Baal HaChametz, which happens to be a Nachri, completely changes the Din of the Gemara. I think is very suggestive and relevant, though I admit it wouldn't be dispositive in its own right. Then he goes on to say, no, we'll get to you in a second. Abu Bivada Yaakov Asher Alosim Al Shulchan. Right, you can already detect the Rashba's reading of the Gemara. The Rashba did not think that this was a coercive intrusion. Right, he did not think that this was a case of trespassing. He does not frisha nechnas. The so chatzero shel Yisrael, that you happen to be friendly with this individual, kevan shemakir in zetze, and therefore the chashash achila is commensurately increased. The chmoshen Yisrael, makur alakum shelo yochal mishalo, kenakum. Mapa aser. So the Rashba would carry the day here. This is the way that it's Nipsak Lalach and Shulchan Aruch, is that even though generally speaking when it comes to kosher food, non-kosher food, basar, b'chalav, we're pretty lenient as long as there's a mapa there. It's just chametz, it's an isur mashu, you know, we can't be too careful. Schar, Amina Lenazira, right? We have to be, you know, very careful when it comes to chametz. Fine. But in any event, I think that the Rashba, even though he's obviously coming down here l'chumra on the question of lahaloso al shulchan, I think it's of enormous conceptual import in terms of delineating lo yimatze b'makom shabai lov imo. In any event, the Yerchos Chaim pasuv. So basically, he says he thinks you should be machmer for the sheet of the Rashba, but the Yerchos Chaim says he doesn't really understand. You know, Isser Mashu is fine, but in general, when we're dealing with individuals, that have clear hekerim, they have clear reminders of things, such as, a wall between them, it's a little bit hard to argue that, there's such a chashash that they're going to come to be ochel zemizah. He says there are those who are lenient even without a hefsek, but be that as it may, the Beis Yosef, and again, it's nifsak le'alach on the Shulchan Aruch, exactly this way in Taf Mem, the siman that we're about to take a look at, so the, he thinks that we should be machmir like the Shita of the Rashba. Okay, now let's take a look at the Mechaber. I already told you what the Mechaber is, paskins like the Rashba on this question, so there's no need to get into that any further, but let's get into the more meaty conceptual issue about Yisrael Mafkid and Yisrael Nifka. Okay, Yaakov, take it away.
Yisrael should have the council out of Israel for the Abero, or at the Agam, or the Shako Allah Hamish, Tad, Athanas, or Allah Hamaki.
So, the Mechaber splits the baby. And he says everybody's equally responsible, right? The Mafkid is in violation, the Nifkad is in violation. You don't get the impression, right, from the Mechaber that he thinks that they're obligated at different levels. He just says, well, over alav af hamafkid, even the situation when the nifkad is mekabel achrayus, beben nifkad Yisrael, beben nifkad akum. So lo and behold, the Gaon says, well, that's okay, but you know who this isn't true for? The Ramban. The Ramban would say that the Mafkid has absolutely no Torah level liability in this situation. Because otherwise, what does the Torah mean? Shivas Yamim Se'or Lo Yimatzei Mevatecha. What does the Torah mean? Lo Yira Lecha Chametz V'lo Yira Lecha Se'or V'chol Gulecha. Seems like the Torah, we'll leave aside the rabbis for a second, seems like the Torah was concerned about having things over which you not only had bialis, but you had rishus, because it was either in your bias or it was in your property. Beischa b'gvulecha. Ma beischa b'rishuscha av gvulcha b'rishusecha. So the Gaon is raising the flag on this psak of the Mechaber, right? As he's paid to do. So nobody, obviously, conceptually speaking, is going to advocate violating an Isser Derabanan. But as you guys saw in the Achronim, once the Gaon holds up the flag on the Shulchan Aruch, what the Achronim will talk about is, let's say we can exploit the Ramban for these kinds of middle ground situations where there isn't an identifiable Nifkad. And not a Nifkad who gave Rishus. That raises some really interesting questions. So, let's have a look. First in the Mishnah Berurah. Now, Levi, I've been keeping you waiting on this Mishnah Berurah for some time. But you can see the Mishnah Berurah wrestling with precisely the issue that I've wrestled with and that you've identified. So Levi, I think that's it's only your just desserts. You want to attempt to translate that?
Yeah, what? Looking
into
the whole thing?
Or just this part. Yesh lo shaychus uzchus begava.
Well, that's exactly the problem we're dealing with. What exactly does that mean? Like, it's so amorphous that we don't know,
Yeah, but if no less an authority than the Chafetz Chaim is using this terminology, it's because it's very hard to define. Bialis is much easier to define. So when he uses the term shaychus and zchus begava, he's obviously trying to describe what I've been calling a zika, a connection. There's some connection that's been generated to this chametz, which has nothing to do with formal ownership. You can't really compare it in that sense. But it also doesn't mean that you're completely severed from the chametz. So you're, to borrow the expression of the Gemara, matzoi biyadcha. There's some connection between you and the chametz. Now, here's where the Balei HaTosos, I think, are really important. You go way back. Where the Balei HaTosos say, well, we think that when it comes to crossing the threshold of Bali Matzei, and now maybe we can even appreciate it a little bit more, so what do the Balei HaTosos say? It's impossible that that could happen if...
You don't have the stress, no?
Anybody remember the tnai that the Balei HaTosos impose on Bali Matzei? There you go. Just wait for the announcement. Then no, you can elaborate on that. But I think that's really important. Yeah. No. Go ahead.
Yeah. They say I forgot what that, but that if your animal hides your chametz, you're not over in Bayatmin because. You have to know where the
chametz
is to be over on it.
Yeah, so imposing that threshold on the iser of lo yimatze, right, that's, it's only because of lo yimatze that we have bali atman, because it's not the lashon of ri'iya. So the Balei HaTosos takes a position that you can't really talk about somebody being associated with something that they have no idea where they could find it. Which makes a lot of sense. As we said at the time, formal ownership, like bailus, so that's not as vulnerable to, if I own something and I happen not to know where it is, moment, you know, it's still mine. I'd like to find it. But if it's about rishus, it's about affiliation, association, so it's a reasonable position to take. You could argue, but it's a reasonable position to take is that you can't really argue that this is affiliated with me. I have no idea what's going on. And as if you're charging somebody to be an accessory to a particular crime, and they have no idea what happened, I would imagine, not a lawyer, certainly not a criminal defense attorney, but if they have literally no idea of the relevant information, I think it's going to be hard to argue for their liability. So yedia seems like an important criterion here as well. Anyway, the Chametz Chaim says, Shaychus uschus begava. So Afogav
She'inu Shalo the Atsem Mishum Schus Ze Chaive Rachamana Bedir. Abhibu Chichi Shadomer Hu Shalo Racha Afra Kilula Bachayas Baza Ain Svara Lomar Tachomit Nifka Mishuso Idek Bosophias Shalacher.
So obviously, the Mishnah Berurah is giving voice to the position of the Shulchan Aruch. Right? In terms of the responsibility of the mafkid. And he says the responsibility of the mafkid will transcend, you know, the nifgad's Kabbalah Sachrayus. He says, Etzem, the Etzem Bailos is Shalom. There's nothing that can mitigate that. And we understand that the Ramban would obviously disagree in the strongest possible terms. Okay, just one more line. So, Okay, then he goes on from there, but basically he reiterates that line, Shaychos Schos Begava. So the Mishnah Berurah is trying to, again, find a terminology with which we can describe associations that are not driven by bailus. Well, basically, rishus. I think that we can see that even, you know, the greatest of the poskim and the greatest of the Balei Halacha would have to concede that there is something amorphous about the second mechayev, about the Balei Matzeh driven mechayev, Israel.
Just actually kind of seriously regarding what you said about criminal law.
Yeah, go ahead.
There are regulatory crimes where criminal intent doesn't matter. And all that matters is when you did it, even if you have no idea that you were committing a crime. What matters is that you did it. So here, there could still be an issue of just having it around. So regardless of whether you knew about it because of the issue of people
I would be very careful in saying that I have no intention of making direct comparisons. I'm just trying to elaborate in a way that would...
In this actual case, it might not have to do with intent because matter...
Maybe. Like, I don't know. Yeah. I just meant it as an example to try to help highlight the point, but I understand what you're saying. Okay, so the Bir Halacha now, I think, raises a really fascinating issue, building up, obviously, what he said in the Mishnah Brura. So the Bir Halacha says, of course, first, look in the Mishnah Brura, and now look here. Rosh Kasav, go ahead, Levi.
Rosh Kasav, all the Avogadim, Botechem, Kibon de Hishil Lo Hanifkod, Beso, the Shmiras Mamono, the Mafkid, Kamunon Bay, Botechem, the Mafkid,
That was exactly what we saw in the rush. Good. So who are we talking about? The Balatani. So Rav Shneur Zalman of Ladi, right? So that he says that's interesting. So you have the Mishnah Berurah quoting the first Lubavitcher Rebbe. Okay, so it's an interesting, in my judgment, highly speculative inference from the Rush. What's your take on this? You can see where he came up with it, right? He says, the Torah said, Shivas Yamim Sorla Yamatsi Vatechem, we don't really care what the address is, but Ma Vatechem, I said at the time, you can put something down in your home, so you can put something down where somebody allows you to put it down. So that's enough to violate on the Doraisa level. And, the Balatanya says, well, let's say you didn't ever just to put it down there. Like, I run an Erev Pesach, and I stick something down in Yair's house. Ha! So, maybe there's other Yisurei Doraisa involved with that. But at least as far as Balirah Balimatze is concerned, he thinks the Rush isn't going to hold me accountable because it's not in my Rishus, and it's not in a place where I have Rishus to put it down. You can see where he comes up with that. Maybe like the Shaloy Heyachote Niskar inside of us kind of rebels against it. This person should benefit because they're doing something wrong, in terms of invading another person's property. I am definitely sensitive to that, but leaving aside the moral and ethical issue involved, and definitely the Choshen Mishpat, issue involved, is everybody convinced that this is true? Yehuda, what do you think?
I'm not fully convinced because you still absolutely have ownership of it, even though you put it somewhere. And you're still probably legally responsible for it and financially responsible for it. You still have some degree of connection. Just because it's not immediately accessible to me doesn't necessarily mean that you'd be completely yotze from the Issur D'oraisa.
Okay, so Yehuda is pointing to the fact that the Rush seems to think that, you're being the Baal HaChametz is really what matters, right? And the fact that you put it down somewhere where you didn't ask permission to put it down, it's a little hard for Yehuda to believe that that's going to solve your problem at the D'oraisa level for the Rush. I hear. No, what's your take?
Yeah. Well, I would say it seems like off just because, that's how it seems. Just reading it, doesn't seem right. But the reason why it doesn't seem right is I think that the Rush's point isn't that, I don't think it's so much that the guy gave you his house, but that like the house is considered yours because you're using it for your stuff, and as long as you're using the house to put your stuff down in it, it should still be considered bateichem according to the Rosh.
Yeah. Okay. I guess the Baal HaTanya would respond. I mean, the Rosh does say that the Nifgad or the Nishal gave you permission. So is that just like sort of a melitza? And because the Rosh is still trying to contend with the word bevateichem, right?
Yeah.
So the question is whether we would lend that any credence at all. Yeah, Ben Zion, I saw your hand up before.
I think that, I mean, like, I'm not sure if the Rosh cares about like this stuff. I think he's just like he. I think like his cult is almost like a formality, but just like he's saying it's all bilus, and like I'm not really sure that what I'm saying yet, but I think the Rosh doesn't care. If you're the Baal of it, then it's yours. Then too bad, you're fired.
Yeah. So I happen to agree with you. Do you want to just bring a raya from something that we saw today? In the language of the Rosh itself, I think you could probably debate it at infinitum. It's probably not knowable. But there's a presentation that we saw today that instinctively makes me believe that you're correct. I don't think the Baal HaTanya is correct. Ilan?
And the Torah quotes his father, and also in the Kitzur Briskei Rosh, which Ben Zion pointed out, it's by the Torah. Also sounds like that.
Yeah, so you want to just point out that line again? Yeah, so when he states his father's position, I never had the impression from the tour that it made a great deal of difference what the Nifgad had to say. He says, well, look at Rabbeinu Yonah. It's true the Rosh wasn't so sure about the Raya, Begunav Mibei Sa'ish, Mishal Hektesh, but Amaf get over Alav, Imeno Mibaru. This, like, basically, Bilos is the driving issue, and if you really, you know, sort of push the Rosh up against the wall and say, oh, but it says, you know, what about the Ramban, Hare Nemar, Bateichem? The Rosh is okay, so let's consider that Bateichem also. So, I think it's a very speculative position that the Baal HaTanya is taking. Not just because of my, you know, ethical qualms over it, but if you really believe that Bilus is what matters, how exactly is it going to help that you put it down where you didn't have Rishus to put it down? If you had Rishus to put it down there, you know, it would be a problem. Now, you don't have Rishus to put it down there, so are you any less the Baal HaChametz? Certainly not. Do you have any less access to it? Certainly not. Somehow you got in there in the first place. It would be a very bizarre conceptual conclusion to draw. It's just very bizarre. Somehow you had enough access to this place to put it down there without permission. So now really it's outside of your Rishus? By the very low standards of the Rosh, granted for the Ramban. Once it's outside of your house, it's outside of your house. But you have the impression for the Bilus people, and I'll throw it back over to Levi, I have the impression for the Bilus people that the kind of deal that the Baal HaTanya is making is just wrongheaded. It just fails to grapple with the fundamental position, which is, ultimately, the Torah said you can't own chametz on Pesach. And the orientation was just not focused on the particular location of that chametz. And we're willing to basically define bateichem as where the chametz is. Your house, some other guy's house, the guy let you put it there. Well, the guy didn't let you put it there, that's not bateichem. That, to me, is really like imposing the assumptions of the Ramban and the Ritva and others onto the Rosh. And I think we should just see them as two fundamentally divergent views of what a Mechayim is with respect to Balayur HaBalayamati. Now, again, if you're going to be very, very, very tied to one particular line in the Rosh, you could definitely see where the Baal HaTanya is coming from, I remain very skeptical. Levi, go ahead.
Yeah, I disagree.
Yeah.
My base chaver shoscha, akul chaver shoscha. You know, if you point at someone that says in your shos, that's the gather of a lavin, and if you know it's not, then it's not. And I mean, it makes, you said it's, you know, it's bizarre, but I don't think that's true. Just imagine a world where that's how it was, and it would be fine, because, you know, it wouldn't be like a widespread thing for you to put it where someone else won't let you, because A, it's hard to put it where someone else won't let you. B, he sees it, he's going to destroy it. And C, you know, even if he does destroy it, you still don't know what's going to be with it. It's still like a very precarious situation. Like, generally speaking, people don't put things outside of like land that they own or rent or whatever. So, So I just don't, you know, I mean, it seems fine to me.
I'm not so concerned about the social consequences of it. I mean, just as a legal doctrine.
I know, I understand. Even as a legal doctrine, I mean, it still seems fine. Like you're not, the law in the doesn't allow you to put this in that place. So the law is also not going to like, go after you if you do. You're already not allowed to like put it there. I don't see the problem.
Well, the last point I'm particularly not convinced about. Why would the Torah sort of be merachim on you specifically because you put it where? I mean, if somebody wants to say, let's say, I have some sympathy for the argument that you're making, if you just want to make a very strict textualist argument and say, look, you know, he said it's Karinan Beischa because he had Rishus to put it down there. I don't believe that that's really what he meant, both because of the Torah, but also because of what he says about the Mechilta. He says, oh, it's true, Ma Beischa Rishuscha, Kulcha Rishuscha, but let's talk about that's the case of the Halva. Shehir here, no Etzlo, Meyachshav. Why not just say that's talking about a case where you didn't have Rishus to put it down? Like, I think that would have been a much easier alternative for the Rush. So, in terms of, you know, obviating the Mechilta. So again, my point is not to, you know, sort of prove it 100%, but I'm just trying to highlight how speculative I think this is. And I do think it misses the fundamental point, which is that if you believe in Bailus, it's very hard to argue that the location of the Chametz is going to make that much of a difference. The Mechayev is Bailus. And ownership of Chametz is something that's really, really hard to mitigate. And I think Rashi believes that. I think the Rambam believes that. I think the Rif believes that. And I think in a very serious way, the Rush believes that as well. I do agree that the Rush, you know, obviously is going to diverge from the Rambam on the question of Chayala Dibnei Machoza. That he's not going to say that constitutes Bailus, and that remains a massive, massive Chiddush at the outer, truly outer extremes of the Bailus perspective. Okay, so just to give the Aruch HaShulchan the last word over here, Eino Yehudi shenichnas leBeis Yisrael bePesach v'chemtzo biyado.
Eino zafikot
Sure, yeah.
The Afal Pi shalom haChomets shalachlo yad haroro haroro shalachirim. Ulechashash achila ein lechosh sharei ha'eino Yehudi omid alav.
Yeah, so what does that remind you of? What does that remind you of?
Well, it's the opposite of what was said in what was said before. I can't remember who said it, but it was the opposite. Someone said that they're not mapping on each other.
Right. So who Shita does this align with?
What?
Yeah. This is basically the Rashba. Sharei
Isn't it the opposite of the Rashba, though?
What's that?
Isn't it the opposite of the Rashba?
No, the Or Chaim.
Oh, right.
Yeah. The Eino Yehudi Omid Alav, lo yaniach lecho milachmo. The Aruch HaShulchan saying, you know, back in Eastern Europe, they weren't too generous with us. Don't have to worry about you coming to eat the chametz. But no, that's like a before a Gemara, right? So that's the Gemara that says to the Chulin.
Right, turn to the first. Chametz shani, the isura of mashu. You
can see the Aruch HaShulchan is very taken with the Rashba, and he even quotes his rationale. It's the Yisr Mashu. It's impossible. Crumbs are everywhere. So we have to have a higher standard here for Chametz. Yeah. So there you go. So the Nachri that comes in with his chametz. I mean, you know, you can imagine a situation. Let's say somebody comes into your house on a Chol HaMoed, right? A workman. Let's say it's a Davar Havad or it's a Tzorach HaMoed. Let's be Melamed Tzchus on Klal Yisrael for a second. So, you know, a workman comes in having done construction all day at a Orthodox Jew's home and says, "Can I eat my lunch here?" So the irony would be is that, you know, most observant Jews, forget about, you know, Melechas Chol HaMoed, that's not going to bother them. But they'll say, "Are you crazy? It's Pesach." So the truth is, one is certainly almost certainly Mutzer. But the workman himself, in terms of the Melecha, that's a little bit of a harder sell. Okay, we should be Melech Mitzchus, but the fact is, Mutzer Lanich, Lena Yudhi Lechol Shan. Shalcha, Ya Taro, Taro, Shalcha, Mishal Gabala. You know, just ask him to, you know, please, you know, clean up carefully, and there's nothing to talk about. So he can eat whatever he wants. As long as you're not there joining him. If you're there joining him, it would be a problem because of the Yisr Mashu. And turn the Bechenk Shokal al Shokhan Bifneyatzmo in Chashash. Okay, so we can all imagine the ironies of that situation.
Ready?
Yeah.
I just thought of this right now. Is there any way to connect, to make it usher by connecting it to Pas Akum? Meaning bring, this isn't like eating with a goy, but it's bringing a goy to eat in your house. So it's kind of similar in the possibility to achieve the reason why we have the usher of Pas Akum.
Yeah, I think that, you know, it is true that Chazal were concerned about fraternizing. But when we talk about the parameters, let's say, of Bishul Akum and Pas Akum, you know, we are, generally speaking, confined to those parameters. So, you know, for us to come along and basically make a new gzeira, that's the kind of thing that we really can't do in the halachic process. And say, well, you know, the rationale behind this were, you know, concerns about mixing and fraternizing. So, you know, I'm going to make a gzeira that, you know, workmen aren't allowed to, you know, eat in the homes of Jews. That's a little bit too far. You know, there could be other issues that we have to be concerned about. Obviously. It's a gzeira about yichud when it comes to a nachris, but it was the example that I gave. So generally speaking, the Shulchan Aruch says that Klal Yisrael are not nechshad in that area, and therefore there would be no problem of yichud with an individual man, you know, who came in to eat. So again, I appreciate the sensibility and the sensitivity, but I don't think in general we can, you know, v'ananekum v'nigz or gzerila tzmeinu, it was like a little bit of a bridge too far. Okay, last line here, Levi. Yeah, so that's a more traditional approach against the Ramban. Right, so the Aruch HaShulchan says everybody's responsible in that case. The mafkid and the nifkad, the mafkid bidin bailus, the nifkad bidin rishus, and he's not prepared to exonerate on the basis of the Ramban. Okay.
That includes Bali Masai also, right?
Yeah, he's just, but the Aruch HaShulchan says Bali Ra, he doesn't just mean Bali Ra. But he means it the way that 99% of the Rishonim meant it, that it's gonna, one is going to trigger the other. So, in summation, now that we've, thank God, we've made it through this, this sugya, again, tomorrow we'll do some Chazara on Halo, we'll do Chazara as much as we can on this sugya as well. And we're not going to be able to be fully comprehensive given, you know, I think 35 minutes. So we'll, you know, try to hit the major points, especially the points that I want you to focus on and to review as much as possible. But I think that what emerges from this sugya is a great way for us basically to conclude a semester where we spoke a lot about what the Isser Chametz is all about. Obviously, there's an Isser Achila, almost as obviously, this side of Rabbi Yossi Aglili, there's an Isser Hana, and then we have a third Isser. And that third Isser, we call Balira Balimatse, is one that is really subject to a fundamental dispute. And that really shouldn't surprise us, because when we stood here at the beginning of the year, you know, we read Tosos and Beis Amud Aleph, which basically said, we don't find this in other places. And so the Rishonim, as we all saw in this sugya, you know, had many different ways of trying to understand what exactly this was about. And especially, I can't say it enough, in light of Avraham and Beis. It's really not something that you can own anyway. And so one perspective is, Avi would tell us, you can't eat the chametz, you can't benefit from the chametz, and you cannot own this chametz. And that's really what it's about. And your formal ownership of this chametz establishes a degree of connection between you and this chametz, which is intolerable when it comes to a noxious substance, the Seor Shebe'isa. It's the ultimate, in terms of a stigmatized Machalos Asuros, the super stigmatized Chefza di Isura. And we're totally unsurprised that that ends up being Shitas Haramba. That was our entire Shir Hakdama. Balira and Balimatze have absolutely nothing to do with a Chashash Achila. And Ilan, you know, as you pointed out yesterday, the Chashash Achila, as you have been seeing, right, seems much more plausible, though not dispositive. I'm not saying that you were claiming that, for a Rishus kind of perspective. So that's one line of thought. Rashi, Rambam, Rif, in a different kind of way, the Rash, Chayel of the Machoza being a very important point of departure. For the Rambam to say even that is Bailos, the Ravid could not sign on to that. This is Ones, what are you talking about? But it is an entirely different view, which may have something to do with the Gzeira Daraisa, with the Chashash Achila, but I don't really think that that is necessarily the case. And it's championed by the Ramban. And the Ramban, and Shimi, I think that you gave, you know, very eloquent voice to this yesterday, says, you know, you can't eat the chametz, you can't benefit from the chametz, and you can't be in proximity to the chametz. And he's here at Torah, al batechem v'al gvuleichem. That's not a matter of chashash achila in any definitive sense. But Rishimi was talking a lot yesterday. It's really beautiful. It brings us back to our Shir Hakdama. You know, below sabi soeval beisafa midvar sheker tirchak, the isser of having, right, midos suros, right, that are dishonest in your own home, it defines you. So having chametz within your domicile is problematic, because, as we said yesterday, there's an obligation to extirpate the chametz. Ach v'yom harishon tashbisu se'or mibatecha. So, if you ask me, Oral Arabasar is basically about this topic. The first eight documents. We're trying to figure out what exactly this third Mechayev was. Now, this particular Psak HaMechaber seems like a really good place to end. If you believe in your heart that the Mafkid and the Nifkad are equally responsible, then that revives the possibility, not like the Ramban, but that revives the possibility, right, that we're really dealing here with both are problematic, bilos and proximity. It doesn't have to be either or. One, is a problem in terms of the fundamentally stigmatized nature of the chametz. You left it in your ownership. That's deeply objectionable. It's fundamentally for the Rambam, Alav Sheyesh Bo Maisa. Okay, we have to check this. It's not. Did you actually do a Maisa or not? Meidach Gisa, of course, there's the notion of being in proximity to something which has been stigmatized by the Torah, even though it has absolutely nothing to do with your ownership. This is a sui generis area of halacha, not just because of the Shnei Dvarim Einan Bershusho Shel Adam, but because of the trigger mechanism, Bal Yira'a, Bal Yimatzeh, one triggering the other. And again, according to these two schools of thought, if you're the Rambam, the end of the day is going to be Kasev HaTorah, Lo Yira Elecha Chametz. If you're the Ramban, in the end of the day, the pasuk that dominates your discussion, the pasuk that controls the entire sugya, is Shivas Yamim Su'or Lo Yimatzei Bevatechem. Ma Be'ischa Be'rishoscha Av Gevulcha Be'rishoscha Be'bal Yimatzei becomes really the story as far as the halacha is concerned. Chametz, unique part of the world of Machalos Asuros, but clearly transcendent of that world. And in the end, we have two very different schools of thought within Orli Arbasar about what exactly the problem is with respect to Bal Yira, Bal Yimatzeh. Probably two views that in the end each contribute materially to our total understanding of the perek. So with that, Yashar Kofachem, really a pleasure to learn this perek together with you. Set out at the beginning of the semester to ensure that everything was as integrated as possible. Try to appreciate, just like we did today, reference the Sheet of Tosis we hadn't discussed in almost a month, but the notion of Matzoi B'yadcha, the Chisaron Yediya, and hopefully becomes a kind of template for you guys in terms of continuing to pursue topics and developing, an entire relationship with the perek. I think is something which is a very special thing. And as is always the case, mitoch shelosam yotzei chachma mefuara. I was thinking about it today on the way here. I so appreciated learning this perek anew together with you. And so many of the beautiful insights that you had really contributed materially to my re-exploration of this perek. So again, tomorrow we'll try to do a little bit of chazara. I guess for from that point on, we're not going to see each other for until I guess the following, right? A week, not this coming Monday, but a week from then, right?
Is it? February 1st.
February 1st. Wow. So that amounts to
16, 17.
That's a long time. Okay. If anybody wants to join the Bekiyas Chabura, you can see me every day. Okay. All right, guys. Yes, Yashar Kofachem.
What will be
your
second semester?
Oh, so thank you for asking. There was one sugya, which is kind of a separate sugya in terms of the nemanos that we talked about. Hanur Rabbanan b'Drabbanan, it sort of comes out of Agav B'Dikas Chamed. So I want to talk about some of that issues of Eidos versus nemanos and B'yado. There's a lot to be discussed there, so that'll be the first sugya, which will kind of be, Tashlumin on Orli Arbasar, and then what I'd like to talk about is to move on to Bechol Misrabin Chutz Me'atzei Asherah, which is a Kol Shah Sugya, but it's a massive Sugya. So that'll be our second Sugya this semester. Okay, thank you guys.